93 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We fall down, but we get up. You know the song. But how do you get up and off the ground after taking a big financial hit? If you lose it all, or at least a large part of it, can you get it back? How do you motivate yourself to fix your finances? Well, my guests have some advice about that. Courtney Robinson is a financial expert, and Catherine Graham is president and CEO of Heritage Contracting, a business she built after she was released from prison. We're going to hear from her in just a bit as well. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Courtney, good to see you again. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great, great. So let's talk about defining what losing everything is, Courtney, because what everything may be to one person may not necessarily be everything to someone else. Define a big financial hit.
I mean, absolutely. It's all relative, but I think, you know, especially in the past couple of years, people might have been more apt to see themselves or their friends lose homes, maybe losing a car, something that you need to be able to keep yourself afloat economically. I mean, there are many ways that people lose out on things that they consider to be a foundation. But luckily, there are lots of resources and ways to help build that back up. So,
mm-hmm. One of the things that we've seen over the past several days, and unfortunately, even today, that in California, the largest fire in that state's history has devastated families. They have lost homes and in some cases have actually lost loved ones. I would imagine that also could be defined as a big financial hit, not just the homes, but the residual financial hit of losing a loved one.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, part of that goes into planning. If you haven't planned for something like that, and honestly, it's not something that a lot of people want to plan for or want to think about, losing a loved one along with all of those property and less important, honestly, tangible things can take a big toll on you, which is why we see people nowadays, you know, making GoFundMes because they don't have the life insurance or they haven't planned for these sort of unexpected events.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, briefly tell me your story. You've built $1 million business, a contracting business, after being incarcerated. How did you get here from there?
Well, first, it was it's a multi-million-dollar business, and
excuse me, I'm sorry, I forgot the little shade there. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm happy for you. Let's put that multi in there. Go right ahead.
Well, let's see. First of all, just a little bit about me. I'm originally from Houston, Texas, and currently I live in Chesapeake, Virginia. I'm married. I have a 7-year-old daughter. Back in the day, in high school, when I graduated, I had 3 basketball scholarships. I was in an abusive relationship. I had hopes and dreams. And although I had hopes and dreams and doing things, that relationship was kind of holding me back because I was constantly trying to, do the things that I wanted to do. And when I decided to go to school and go out of town, I thought he was okay with it, you know, being there and going to school and working. It didn't quite work from all the abuse, so I decided to leave. And then when I decided to leave, he asked me to take some drugs. And I said yes, just so I can, you know, not have to fight about it or get into some argument, knowing since I'm leaving, I'm gone, out of sight, out of mind. Well, en route, he called the police, and I was arrested. And I was sentenced to 10 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I spent almost a year sitting in in jail waiting to be sentenced.
Right.
And the day that I was sentenced, when I heard that gavel hit down, from that moment, I lost everything. To me, I had everything prior to that because I had hopes and dreams and goals. But that day, I lost everything. And so I lost my faith. I lost my family. I lost my friends. I lost my future and my identity. I went from 130 pounds to 98 pounds within that first year sitting in that jail waiting. Read the Bible, trusted and believed I was going to get out. But the first 5 years, I was angry. I was lost. Didn't believe in God. And one day I had a near-death experience and I was leaving out of my cell, going down the hallway, going to mail call. And just as I was leaving out, and our room was at the very end of the hallway. So when I was leaving out, I grabbed a mint, put it in my mouth. And as I was walking out, it slipped down and it lodged in my throat. And I couldn't breathe and I could feel my mouth gapping and the tears flowing. I could feel myself dying. And in my mind, all I could think was to just say Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because that first year, all I did was pray and read the Bible 3 times back and forth, trusting and believing I was getting out. And when I didn't, that's when I lost faith and everything. So during that first 5 years being so difficult, when I said Jesus, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody hit me in the back and the mint flew out of my mouth. And from that moment, I decided to get to know him and to find out what my life is about and why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point, they had opportunities to go out and work on Habitat for Humanity projects. Prior to that, I wouldn't go. But I had a boss that told me that if I go out there, because he saw in me, he said, I see something in you that you don't see in yourself. So if you go out there and you do what I'm telling you to do, then I'll let you work on those projects. So I started working on those projects for Habitat for Humanity. I learned construction. I learned how to operate heavy equipment. I started going from one job to the next job, from plumbing to painting and so on. And so when I came that day, another day in the mailroom, I saw a magazine that had a woman with a hard hat on inside, and I said, that's me. And then from that point, when I got out, I had an opportunity to work on a construction project that was being built for President Bush, and I worked on that project.
Hold on. Hold on 1 second. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we are talking about motivating yourself to fix your finances, how to pick yourself back up off the ground after taking a big financial hit. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. But please, quickly, go ahead and finish your story, Catherine.
Okay. And so from that point, I started working in construction projects. I started, I came back from D.C., only had $1,000 in my pocket. I took $1,000 and I bought 8 houses in 1 year. I took that money, I started going out, learning how, flipping houses and fixing them up and having difficulties out there because I didn't, know finances. I didn't know the numbers and I didn't know management. So I would get jobs, come back and then I just, you know, it was an opportunity to where I had problems on site with men and me being a woman, and I decided to just start my own business. So in 2006, I launched out after working for several construction companies, started my own construction company, and now we do federal work. We do work from the ground up. We've done, you know, in the past 5 years, we actually done over $30 million in sales.
Yeah. Excellent. There's that multi that I forgot, right?
Right.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Courtney, one of the things when I listen to Catherine, and I suspect that you may hear this too, is that through all of the adversity, one of the things is that she had done, even though she had skills, she had to get some kind of financial education. Is that where a lot of people go wrong when they don't have some sense of financial literacy, whether it's personal or business.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it's one of those things where a lot of times if you don't have a reason to know, you just don't know. I mean, if it's not something you're exposed to either growing up or in school or brought around, there's just not an innate know-how. So you would need to educate yourself the same way that, you know, you learn how to ride a bike or learn any other trade. There are things and processes and steps. And I'm sure, you know, as she said, she had to learn how to do things like go through the contracting process and get some of her background. Mm-hmm. So even mm-hmm. just gaining that knowledge and making sure that you tap the correct resources. I mean, and if you're in the D.C. area, we are lucky to have a lot of resources. We have a lot of schools, law schools that have pro bono assistance. We have chambers of commerce, things like that, places where you can go for that financial coaching or wherewithal that you might need if you're trying right. to get back on your feet or start out a small business.
One of the things I think is interesting, Catherine, is that because you were incarcerated, you went from nothing to something as opposed to from something to nothing mm-hmm. to something. Is there a difference in your mind where somebody may have had a lot? As you've seen in the D.C. area, we've got people who have really, really good incomes, but then through some accident, some tragedy, they lose a lot or some of it. Is it different for someone who is crawling up from nothing as opposed to someone who has something, has lost it, and then gone back?
I think it is different. I think for me, I would say I knew I had something before. Or I would say I knew I had everything before. Before the judge hit that gavel, I had dreams and I had goals. And that's what motivates me, because knowing I had something, and that helps me to, you know, it. So when I saw that woman in that magazine, you know, that again said, that's me. You know, that motivated me, knowing that used to be me. I had somebody. I was something. I was going to be somebody. And so to have something and then to not have it, if you know that you had something before, you're still that person. You still have those hopes. You still have those dreams. You know, that should motivate you enough to say, you know what, I'm going to get that again. So whatever it takes, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make that happen again, because I had it and I know what it's like and I deserve it again. But it is difficult when you haven't had it. It's very difficult because it's a mindset thing. You know, you don't have anything to work with. You don't have anything to compare anything to. So, yeah, absolutely, it's different.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tracy calling from D.C. Tracy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, hi. Hello, everyone. So I think this is an excellent topic. So I just wanted to say, as far as how to excel once you've lost everything, so as far as I'm concerned, so I came up through the Marion Barry era. I was 15 and a half years old. I worked at McDonald's. I worked my way up. I became a high-ranking official in law enforcement, but then I lost everything. I lost my first home that I worked so hard to gain through a lot of overtime and working a lot of pounding the pavement. I lost through a divorce, through a serial cheater, just lost everything. So I went through foreclosure with my first home, four children, not knowing how to get it back. But then I worked my way up brick by brick by brick. And what I mean by that is I worked a lot of overtime. I got into school. I earned a master's degree. So I just want people to know that through extremely hard work and perseverance and confidence and a belief in God, and to know that you can do it, but you have to stick with it one mm-hmm. step at a time, just one step at a time. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so that is how I excel, just one step at a time. I had a vision. I knew through because of my faith, I mm-hmm. knew that I would, in my vision, I visualized myself persevering, and I did.
Right.
But hard work paid off, because yeah. coming from a mom, a single parent, my mother raised six children, and I saw her working two and three jobs to make it work.
That's right.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for sharing that with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ron calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you after the break. Tonight, we're talking about how do you get up off the ground after taking a big financial hit? What does it take if you lose it all to get it back? How do you motivate yourself to fix your finances? We're going to talk about that more after the break, so stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about your finances and how do you get it all back after you lose it all? How do you motivate yourself to fix your finances? We're talking with financial expert Courtney Robinson and Catherine Graham. She is president and CEO of Heritage Contracting. It is a multi-million-dollar business that she built after she released from prison. Yeah, she's giggling because you giggle with multi. You know, you just smile with 1 million, but with multi-million, you get to giggle. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me get back to the phone lines real quick. Ron, thanks for holding on, calling from D.C. What's on your mind? Ron, are you there? Ron, give me a call back if you can. Tyrone, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Tyrone. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just calling to try to get some insight on how you can get your financial situation back on track.
What's your financial situation? Briefly, tell me what's the issue.
I had lost a job, and I've been out here searching for a new one, but have been unsuccessful right now, but I'm still looking.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what Courtney has to say about that. I'm sure she has some other questions also. Go ahead,
sure.
Courtney.
Sure. I mean, I don't know your particular background, and I don't know what industry you're in, but how long have you been searching out here in D.C.?
A little over 7 months.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, what type of work are you looking to do, or what type of work do you do?
I'm in the administrative field.
Okay. So I would advise... Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, outside of, you know, the traditional outlets that you would think of, you know, like going on job boards online and things like that, a lot of times looking for individual companies. I don't know if there's an individual place that maybe you think you would like to work, or even large companies that are based in the area, and just see what opportunities they have there versus looking for a specific position or title. But I would say, you know, good luck in your search. And if you're trying to build up your financial situation, I know that there's a lot of background and a lot of questions that maybe we don't need to probe into as we're talking here on the phone. But there are a ton of resources out there to help you make sure that you are maintaining financially depending on where you're at. I would say look at local credit unions and community development financial institutions here in D.C. They can help you build up your financial picture no matter what you have, and give you good background on how you can build. Of course, industrial is one I always bring up because they're local here and they're black owned. But there are others. And I would say, if you don't, can I give out my email? I can give you my email address if you want to send an email and give me some more information personally. My email address is Courtney@CourtneyKRobinson.com. That's Courtney at C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y.
Whoa, you want to slow that down.
Oh. Say it's my name. So I'm
used to spelling
it. CourtneyKRobinson.com.
And Catherine, if you have some advice also for Tyrone, because he's between jobs right now. He's, uh-huh. You know, he's searching, but it's not just the hardware of the search, but I would argue that there is the software, the mental piece for that also.
Right.
Absolutely, absolutely. I would say first, I would say to you, I would not take myself to where I'm not too good to take any type of job, because I worked on several different jobs, and I find that when you have a lot of gaps, because being a business owner, when you have a lot of gaps, meaning, you know, you have not worked, that plays against you. So it also has to do when you are interviewing, you know, what type you need to find out, interview with somebody, see how you're doing in your interviews. Because I know when I went to interview, what some of the things that stood that made me feel bad was because I had a conviction. You know, sometime I would tell them, then I didn't get hired. Sometime I would tell them, I didn't tell them, and I got hired. And later on they found out and they fired me. So it's like I had to get my foot in the door. So what I learned was I had to really, really be comfortable with who I was and learn who I am and learn what do I bring to the table to this company. When you go to those companies, you want to research them. You want to find out about them so that when you present yourself sitting there, you're making sure that you're just as valuable to them and they need you just as much as you need them. And it's not an arrogance thing. It's a thing coming to them as a team. Hmm. I don't care if it's McDonald's, you know, being a supervisor. You may have the worst supervisor and you may have the best, you know, personality, somebody that they need, they can train and they can work with. You know, so it's going to be about how you see yourself and what do you provide, what you can come to the table with. Because if you're in, you say, administrative, you got to see, am I a people person? Am I a detail person? Am I just somebody you can, a laborer where you say, do this, do that, do that, and that's all I'll do, and I won't go no further until you tell me something else? You know, or am I a creative person? So that's what I would say. Find out a little bit more about your strengths. So when you go in there, it does. I feel like it doesn't matter where you go. You, if you know who you are and what you can provide, they'll be happy to have you.
And one other thing, if I may suggest also, Tyrone, I don't know if you heard the newscast on this program at 7 o'clock, but Amazon is coming. And they start hiring in 2019. 2019 is a month and a half away. And that could be one of the biggest employment, or biggest employers to come to D.C. in a generation. And so even as you are planning now to fill the gaps while you find what you want to do, you should definitely look ahead, because I would imagine that within the next 45 days or so, you'll begin to hear more about, even though the building isn't built, but you may be able to get some insight into what the possibilities are. So, you know, there is hope. There is, right. There is a lot of hope. So, Tyrone, thank you.
Have they decided exactly where it's going to be in D.C.?
Yes, Crystal City. It's going to be it's going to be in Crystal City. 25,000 jobs are promised the D.C. Metro as a result of this addition to Crystal City, Pentagon City, and the like. So. Sounds like help could be on the way for you. So hang in there, and I appreciate your phone call so much. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk a little bit, Courtney, about some of the more personal aspects of one's finances, because as I mentioned earlier, let's just talk about this area. It is expensive to live here, but the salaries are high for professionals, and even those who may have a successful trade. But the reality is, as I said in the beginning, things can happen. You could lose a spouse, you could lose a loved one, and all of a sudden you have an additional financial burden. Talk to me about planning well in advance for not a rainy day, but a storm.
Right. I mean, again, you don't know what you don't know. So even though you might know what you get in your gross or net income or what you're making per hour, that's completely different from knowing your whole financial picture and knowing what you might be able to absorb. And I say that knowing that it's very difficult to save and plan in a city like D.C. where everything is expensive. But doing little things like looking at your credit report is something you can get a free one every year. It's something not a lot of people do. Not your credit score, but your actual credit report. See what's on there. There might be debt that you don't know about that you can get rid of. And or that you don't actually owe, you can get rid of. Let me say it like that, because if you owe it, it's there and it's supposed to be. But also things like that feed into making your financial picture more healthy. So being able to do something like get a car. You don't want to just walk into a dealership and get a car based on any interest rate, something like that, just using it as an example. But if you know your financial picture, you can sort of save pennies here and there on things like that. Making sure you have a savings account. Savings accounts don't yield as many dividends as they used to. I know like some online accounts like Ally will give you like 1% in your savings, but it's really just so you have a buffer there. Putting away whatever you can bit by bit. And if you have the kind of job where you're lucky enough to have a savings like a 401k or a 403b, please make sure that you put that money in there, because worse come to worse, and this is not always advised, but you can borrow against that if you need to, as long as you pay it back. So that can also function as another form of savings.
Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Catherine. As your business began to grow and began to get successful, was there ever a point when you began to look at your bank account and you either, number one, became a little nervous because you're talking about more money perhaps than you had ever made in your life? Were you ever tempted to go a little nuts because it seemed like you hit the lottery? What was that aha moment for you financially, good or bad, when you started your business?
Well, I agree with Courtney. When I started making more money, I didn't really start buying a lot of different things. You know, always felt like I wanted the essentials, things that I felt that was an asset for me to help me move forward because of where I came from. Meaning, I wanted a nice car because when I go somewhere on site, I wanted them to see me as somebody that's credible. You know, and I wanted a nice home because I wanted a nice home and I wanted a place to have a family. So when it came down to saving and looking at the money, I always wanted to invest. I did like Courtney. When it came, I started seeing my value. I started talking to people who was telling me what I should do. I looked at people who had money and I would talk to them and find out, what are you doing? What should I do? Because they were taking trips and they were saving money and doing different things that I wanted to do. So I made sure I had life insurance. I tried to put all these things in place and plan, like she said. I had to plan for these things. And getting financial advisors, talking to the bankers, trying to find out what do I need to do to be able to leave a legacy is what I wanted to do. So,
well, you said something that just struck me. You said you talked to people who had money. My first question is, were these people that were business associates or people that you met who had money because you began to accumulate money? And it's important that I get an answer for my next question about that. Were they business or were they personal people?
At the time, I didn't have money.
Mm-hmm. I see. Because the reason I ask is because we've often discussed on this program, and Courtney, we've even discussed discussing money with people, personal finances. People don't always, they're not always forthcoming. The discussion about financial literacy, about how you're handling your finances, if you were handling them well, but people are somewhat reticent to talk about what they do with their money. Did you have any speed bumps when trying to get information from these people that you met about how to handle your money?
Is that for me, Catherine?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's see. People, I have found out that people don't mind helping you when you're willing and they see that you're trying to help yourself. That has been a blessing to me because I've come across people. I have a mentor, Rich, just put it out there like that. And I never go into details and get personal about the money. I talk about my life, my future, my family, what I want. And then I ask for advice of what I should do. How should I do this? So it's not really getting deep into their personal life because that's not what you should do. I don't think that you should because, you know, I don't have their mind. And if I got into their life, I probably couldn't manage it the way they managed. I have to know what your thoughts are so that I can be able to, you know, take what I need and use it and figure out and let you help me figure out how to use it in my current situation.
So you didn't ask anyone how much they spent on their yacht, but what you did, but what you did ask is where can you get a good price on a yacht? And I'm being slightly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yes. And are they willing to help you when you differentiate between, you know, one of those questions such as that?
They are. Yes, mm-hmm. They are. They are. I would say you have to build a relationship. It's mm-hmm. all about relationships first.
Yeah.
You know, before all that happens, it's building a relationship. And that's them seeing you. Seeing you moving forward, seeing you have a plan, and seeing that you trying to work this plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about some advice that both you and Courtney may have for those that are struggling with this this issue, how to rebuild a financial life after losing it. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about losing it all and getting it back. How do you motivate yourself to fix your finances? So, Courtney, if you are in a hole mm-hmm. and you're trying to dig yourself out, what do you suggest?
Ooh, it depends on how bad the hole is. I mean, but just rebuilding and knowing that, and I think Catherine brought up a good point earlier before the break, you can look to people for advice, but you cannot be other people, right? So don't think that you have to rush back into things like buying a home or getting a car or things like that, because if you can't afford it, it's not. To be honest, that goes back to building a good foundation to make sure you don't fall in the first place. Just because it seems like what you're supposed to do or that's the trajectory you're supposed to be on based off of what other people have said does not mean that that is best for you and your financial picture. But I would just say building yourself up, getting any of the work that you can, being as diligent as you can about protecting your mental health. I think we would be remiss if we had a conversation about building yourself up and didn't talk about protecting your mind and making sure that you're not being self-defeating and making sure that you have an adequate support network to make you realize you are still a whole person regardless of what's in your bank account or what you own. So making sure you do that. For some people, that's church. For some people, that's therapy. For some people, it's both. Mm-hmm. Family, things like that. But I think that is the most important part. So mental health and making sure that you are building responsibly and not jumping the gun on getting what you think you're supposed to have.
And that was kind of my next question. What are the mistakes that people often make mm-hmm. as they are rebuilding and those steps are taken, the brick wall of your finances that fell is being reconstructed? What are they doing wrong?
Right. Well, if it's an issue where, you know, your credit is bad for whatever reason because of your financial picture, and again, that goes back to knowing what that is and what your credit report says and what your credit score is. But if you cannot access credit to build that back up, then just start small. Do little things. You can get a secured credit card, which is taking your own money, putting it down, you know, like $500 with Visa or MasterCard or whoever you're banking with, and just spending that money to build up your credit. So it's money that you put up to make sure that that debt can be paid back just in case because of your financial picture, but you can build up your credit that way. Again, like I said, getting a car, I bring that up because it if you can prove that you have some sort of income or, you know, some way to pay, the standards are not as high to get a car, because that's also another way to build up your credit picture. And the better your credit picture looks, the more that you can get money and the more that you can make sure that you have a foundation there in case of emergency.
Catherine, when you started your business, and of course you were a returning citizen, did you need to establish some kind of loan or financing for your business? And if you did, how did you do that?
Well, I kind of had to get up in construction. I did a lot of the work myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of helped me build up some finances. And, you know, from flipping the houses, and I had that money and taking jobs that I knew that would give me experience, but it may not give me the money, because I knew that down the road I needed the experience to get a bigger job to be able to make some money. And for me in business, I would say for anybody that's in business, they need to literally learn their numbers, you know. Understand that your profit is not your pay. That was a big thing for me. And once I learned my numbers and learned how to do my finances, and, you know, that kind of helped me to make more money to be able to build my business.
Well, but specifically because you said you had $1,000. And within you know, several years, you were able to flip houses.
Right.
On the face of that, $1,000 just doesn't go very far. So how did you turn $1,000 into the ability to flip houses?
Well, I was able to put like earnest money deposits down. I mm-hmm. was buying 2 and 3 houses at one time. I put that same $500 over here, and I put it, write a check and put it over there, and I write another $500 and put it over there. So I had it, you know, I was just circulating that money. And then when I closed, I would get $10,000 back on each house. I would also get the rent money, because I was buying houses that was probably rented out. So I would get the rent money, and then I would, you know, continue to rent the houses out. And then the next month, I'll buy 2 and 3 again. I kept taking that same $1,000 and flipping it and putting it here and putting it there. I was buying them different ones out of state, putting family in and putting friends, people who needed homes and was in bad neighborhoods, putting them in a better neighborhood so they can do better. And that's how I kept flipping it. Like I say, every house I got $10,000 back at closing. That's how I built up the money.
Mm. You've had this business for how long now?
I've had my business for 12 years.
What is the most difficult thing now that you are having to deal with as a successful businesswoman? What are the challenges that you have to deal with? I can only think more money, more problems. See, there it is. There it is.
You know, I don't want you to think that I'm way out there, because I'm not.
Way out there meaning what?
I'm really blessed in a way that I've surrounded myself with good people.
Mm-hmm.
I surrounded myself, and I prayed to have people that care about my business just as much as I do. My business is literally on autopilot. I really don't have to do a whole lot. I have great people. I have top people who retired, you know, government is working there. You know, they have, we have, I have, and they have, we have relationships, you know, with the government. So a majority of work that we've done is all negotiated. So, you know, we're in programs. I'm exercising and using my resources, you know, so money is not an issue right now. You know, so that's not an issue. So I guess you want to say what the problem is. The problem, there really is no problem right now. The problem is just making sure that there is no problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't necessarily suggesting the money in and of itself, but mm-hmm. but is the problem. But certainly in any business, there may be challenges, struggles, speed bumps, and the like, things that may be unexpected even when you reach a certain level of success. And for those that are hoping to take your lead, to follow in your footsteps, no matter where they've come from, whether they've lost it all or lost a piece of it, mm-hmm. when you are where you are now, what is the thing that you wish could be better, that can be fixed, or what is the plan to make sure that you don't hit those kinds of speed bumps that perhaps you have in the past?
Making sure I have the qualified people.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's always a challenge, because either they work for somebody or they don't have the experience. You know, or people retiring, people, you know, for whatever reason, people moving, people, you know, having personal issues.
Yeah.
So, you know, subcontractors in the business, you know, making sure that they can stay in business. So if they don't stay in business, then that keeps me out of, you know, that messes me up.
Yeah.
You know,
I've got about a minute or so left. Courtney, your final thoughts for those who are trying to dig themselves out of a hole or perhaps had and then don't have and are trying to get whatever they had back.
Knowledge about your own financial picture is power. Even if the picture is not that bright, I know we've all, or maybe just me, been in a place where you don't want to look at your bank account because you're scared of how low the number is, or you're just swiping your card and hoping for the best. But you really, the more you know and the more you can predict what your normal cash flow is and what your expenses are, the better off you'll be no matter what that picture looks like.
Excellent. I want to thank both of you, Courtney Robinson and Catherine Graham, for coming on and sharing your thoughts, your expertise, and your inspiration for those that are trying to climb out of a hole or not fall back into a hole. And Catherine, congratulations on the success of your business, and thank you again for participating in the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Tuesday, November 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.